Welcome to the Antioch Christian Ministries podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Rod Chalk.
I'm always amazed before I really get into this. I'm amazed at how often the worship songs that we pick just seem to hit right where it is. And I know sometimes that can be a sense of preparing, that we know that we want to do it this way, and so we pick certain songs. But I tell you, there's just something on that worship this morning. And so I know Pastor Jay mentioned it, but I tell you, if you've never experienced doing it like this, you know, we as a people, we love to interact even while we're worshiping or whatever. And so the worship team is doing such a fantastic job. I just encourage you that sometime during the week, if you have an opportunity or a moment, just to send them a text, encourage them, and because it's not easy. It's not easy, even right now. This is a season. Let me just declare this over you. I do have a good, strong word for us today, and I don't want to get too sidetracked with things, but let me declare over you today. This is a season where we have been given opportunity, that in the midst of everything that's going on, God has given us opportunity. This opportunity is the greatest opportunity that I believe that you will experience in your lifetime. There will be different times when we have opportunities at different levels, but this is an opportunity for us to transform, to become more and more and more like Christ. We've often said, I don't know if you're like me, that we've said at different times, boy, I don't have time for this. I don't have time for that. And I know some of you are still out working, and boy, I tell you, we want to cover our frontline workers and those. And that's not just our hospitals. You think about it, those that are in our grocery chains, those that are really, they need to be there. We need them to be there. And so we want to cover them. And maybe they're not having as much time as some of us have. And I know that for us as pastors, we seem to be more busier than ever. But you today, you might be having an excess of time. And I encourage you to take this moment, take this season right now and say, just stop. And say, God, what is it you want me to learn this week? What is it you want me to become more skilled at? And it might not be something where we have to always think about, and it will obviously be where we're getting deeper into the word and we're doing those things. But is it possible that you've wanted to go back to school? And you say, well, schools are shut down. Well, but online, there are a lot of things that are available. And it's amazing what you can learn. And school is really, the word is transforming, it's changing. That there are so many things available to you right now online to learn. I believe that God is preparing the church for the next. See, God is not, he has a plan, and that's really what my sermon is about today, that I serve the God who has a plan. And this is not a plan that that caught him by surprise, and then he was going, well, okay, so what are we going to do? I serve a God that has a plan. And in this plan, it's not just for this moment. You see, that's the thing that we have to grab a hold of in there, that God is with us in this moment and he's there. And I don't underestimate the fact that some of us have been in situations where our salaries, maybe your salaries have been cut back, or your home salary has been cut back, or whatever the issue. I mean, some of you might even be struggling with the fact of both breadwinners have your salary cut back. Or maybe totally gone. And God is in that with you right now. You are not alone. I speak that over you right now, that you are not alone. Come on, grab that word. You are not alone in the midst of this situation. Because that's what the enemy wants to do. And we know that we need to socially distance, and we need to, for some, there needs to be a complete isolation. But this doesn't mean, I said it in pre-service prayer, just think about this. If this would have happened 30 years ago, we would not be able to connect the way that we did, the way we do right now. Think about that just for a second. And I don't believe for one minute that God brought this on us. I don't speak that way, I don't teach that way, and I don't talk that way. But I do believe that there's never anything that happens in our lives that God does not transform us within that situation. And I believe that this is the season because, see, when God has this plan, it's not only for right now, for your situation, as I was saying, but God has the plan for the next. And he's looking for some people that will say, you know what, Lord, I thank you and I'm trusting you in my now, but what do you want me to do to prepare for the next? And I know that sounds so chaotic because it sounds so different. It sounds, it's a different word. It's a different, it has a different sound in it that we're hearing on the media and that we're hearing everything and batten down the hatches and focus on what we absolutely have to do. And I do believe, hear me now clearly, I do believe in following the governance that has been given to us and to stay continually doing what we're asked to do to see this curve flatten. So hear me carefully in that. But this is our moment right now to say, God, begin to train me. God, begin to teach me. Lord, what do you want me to grow in? I can't tell you how many times, if you're like me, you probably got, five or six books that you're reading different parts of. But here's a challenge for you. I have a challenge for you. Some of you are saying would say to me, but I'm not a reader. If you only knew for me, I think it's some of the funniest things that God does where he calls people to do things that in the natural, they're just not capable. And I am not a natural reader. I don't find pleasure in necessarily in reading. But I know how essential reading is. And no matter how hard it is for me, I press through. And in this season, here's my challenge. Pick a book. Pick a book. Something that's going to cause you to grow. And read it from cover to cover. I mean, truthfully, even as pastors, we often find that we are... We read for resource, so we'll read sections of things, but this is a moment, and I'm not just talking about the fact of, I don't know why I'm saying so much about this morning, but this is a season for you to prepare for the next, what God has called you to do, even in the next, because this too shall pass. We will look back on this. We will have that time next year where many of us sit there and across our Facebook pages will come reminders that I see people setting them out purposely that there'll be reminders of what was happening in this season, in this time. But I want to be prepared. But this at this time right now, we have a series that we're doing called Strong and Courageous. And today being Palm Sunday, and really Palm Sunday is often talking about a celebration. We know the scriptures here where they were shouting, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. And there's so many fantastic lessons within Palm Sunday. But today I'm excited. I love it when God gives me a word like this. I love it when he allows me just to have a few scriptures, a few passages, and we just dive deep into them. And so if you'd grab your Bibles with me, and I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 21, and really the story of the triumphal entry is found in all the Gospels. It's found in Mark 11, 1 to 11, and Luke 19, 28 to 44, and over in John chapter 12, 12 to 19. But I would like us to focus this morning just really on Matthew. And Matthew chapter 21, and believe it or not, I'm going to try to preach simply, and there's an expansion we're going to go, and if you want to get your Bible ready to flip over to Joshua chapter 3 with me, and you can get those two passages are where we're going to stay this morning. You know, I think that there is powerful imagery in this passage. And so here's what I'm going to do right now. I'm going to just read in Matthew 21, and it's only verse 2 and 3. I will read verse 1 just for context, but I want to focus and stay in verse 2 and 3. So let me read. Now when they drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethpage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, and these are our two verses, saying to them, go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And then verse 3 says, and if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them, and immediately he will send them. see this. We know that the passage of Scripture really continues, and it is a fantastic passage. I encourage you, those of you that have families, to spend some time today, and those of you that are by yourself, just spend some time in that chapter today and see, really understand the context, read some of it beforehand and some of it afterward to see really what's going on with Jesus in this moment. This is what we call Holy Week, and Jesus is beginning the journey to the cross. He is beginning the journey to change our lives. See, the cross should change our lives. I know for myself, I don't mean just once. I mean on a continual basis. There's a question that I ask myself at times, and it's a hard question to ask, but I ask it nonetheless. And it's the question, so if I think back 5 years ago and what my walk with the Lord was like, have I grown? And that's where I want to be, that the expectation that I will grow. And so within the next 5 years, what are ways in which I want to see my life in Christ begin to grow? I encourage you this week to spend some time asking Holy Spirit, what is it that needs to grow within me? But when we look at this passage, there's really three things that I want to pull out of it. The first one is this, that the Father had prepared ahead. Let's look at the last verse there, verse 3 first. And it says, and if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them, regarding the donkey and the colt of the donkey, and immediately he will send them. It's so very important in this season right now that we know that our Father has prepared ahead. This hasn't surprised him. It's not caught off guard. One of the things I want to encourage you, that if you get, for example, if you're working and you get a call and your boss says, well, you know what, unfortunately, I've tried everything I can, I'm going to have to lay you off right now. And if your heart skips a beat just for a second, I want you to recognize something, that doesn't mean you don't have faith. That if you find out, you read a news reel, and I don't spend a lot of time there. I'm not the type to stick my head in the sand and wait for this to go away. But I also know that I need to be careful of how much I'm putting in me like that. But in this moment, when those things happen, this is what I want you to begin to teach yourself to do, is to say this out loud. God's got a plan. And he's prepared ahead of time. See, in this moment right now, when we look at the story that Jesus had prepared, God had prepared ahead of time. It's not like he told the donkeys, yeah, they may have felt like donkeys at times, or the disciples did. But it's not like he told the disciples, two of them, just go on in and wander around and you know, just pick any donkey. He told them specifically, walk in and you will immediately be connected with this donkey. You will see this donkey. But you see, it's something where at that moment, the Father didn't just place a random donkey around. He knew somebody's heart was right. And that when, think about it, if this was your donkey and the colt, and that was just tied outside your house or maybe tied outside your business, and all of a sudden someone comes by and starts untying it and turns around and he says, well, you know what? The master needs it. And, you know, it's not like everybody would have said, oh, that's awesome. Yeah, go ahead and take them. No, that person was prepared in that moment. And I can tell you that I believe with all my heart that in some way God spoke to that person and prepared them that this was going to happen, so that their response would be, here you go. Here's my resources in this time. Here's what I have in this time. Here's what I have to help in this time. And I think that God is a God who, for me personally, that he loves to use me. He can do all kinds of things for me, but he'd rather do things through me, even if they're for me. And it's a matter of meaning that we step out and we say, so Lord, here are my resources. And you might be looking at your table right now or looking at your checkbook or your bank account or whatever it might be and going, Lord, you see what I have. And in those moments, it's a matter of saying, God, here's what I have. I am fully trusting in you because I know that you are prepared. You are prepared in this season. If you're at home and you have a family member that's on the front line, you begin to declare, Lord, you were prepared. You begin to declare over whether it's your children, whether it's your wife, whether it's your husband, whoever it would be, your sister, you begin to declare over them, God, you have a plan and you were prepared. You are protecting them in the midst of this. You know, in the midst of everything that is happening, we must be a people that believe God has a plan, not a last minute, I'll figure it out plan, but a plan that has preparation attached to it. The second thing I want to just tell you is, and it's kind of funny, so work with me here a little bit, okay? But, you know, think about the donkey just for a second. You know, this says, if you look over, I believe it's in, the portion is over in Mark, and Mark gives us a little bit of more detail about the donkey, and it said, Mark talks about the donkey had never been sat on. So he'd never been, not only just never been rode, but I think that's what that means, but never been sat on is to mean that the donkey had never been rode at that time. Nobody had ever sat on him. But in that moment, see, Jesus sat on that colt of a donkey. The donkey, as I say, had never been ridden, but something brand new was about to happen. You know, I think that, let me just read this for a second. What could cause a donkey to allow itself to be sat upon when it had never had that experience before? And you might sit there and even have just said right now out loud or maybe in your mind, well, you know, Jesus is God. So he just would sit on the donkey, tell the donkey what to do. But see, you've missed it then. You've missed it in the scriptures. One of the most powerful things is that when Jesus did everything that he did upon the earth, he did it to show us how to do it. It's so very, very important that we recognize that when Jesus came here, although he was fully God and fully man, and although that when he came, he could have, the Bible even talks about it different in this next season that's going to happen. He could have called 10,000 angels, the scripture says. But in this moment right now, he is teaching us again about that God wants to flow through us. I believe it is the fullness of peace that was upon Jesus that caused that donkey to allow him to sit on him and ride that whole distance. You know, just for fun, I went online and I looked up to see what it would be, what it's going to be like to for someone to have to sit on a donkey who had never been rode. And I tell you, there was a whole lot of people being bucked off them. But in that moment, we see this. We see the kind of peace that Jesus had was one that was filled with trust. See, let me put it this way to you. Jesus was fully God and fully man. But you see in the garden experience, if you read a little bit later on, you see him pouring out his heart to the Father. You see the reality of the humanity of our Lord. And in those moments, we see that he needed peace. He cried out to his Father. And he needed the peace to be able to do what he needed to do. So if you're a frontline worker, you get up in the morning and you know you're going off to work, and the enemy likes to come and dump all kinds of thoughts in our brains. Isn't it strange how all of a sudden you're not thinking about anything and then across our brain comes this strange thought? Can you recognize in that moment when it happens that that's not a lack of faith for you? Don't let that take you down a road that you think that you don't have the faith to be able to function and walk in this time. Just take it for what it is. The enemy is throwing something at you. But you begin to stand up and declare that the God of peace lives inside of me. And so everywhere I go, the peace of God affects everyone that is around me. Church, I know this video is going, it's kind of funny, everything is going around the world. But can I just talk to Antioch? talk to my church family who I miss. God's got this. Just take a minute right now even and say, Lord, fill me with your peace. Fill me with this incredible peace. You know, one of the things that there's a phrase, you've never been this way before. I find that really that's everywhere right now what we're looking at. I've never preached to a back of a camera before. I've never never done a lot of the things that I'm doing lately before. But I've begun to not be perfect at this, and there's nerves and there's all kinds of things that come into place, but I have begun to believe fully that this is the time that we were born for. That in this time right now, and in the neighborhood that you're in the job that you have, in the place where you are, the friends that you have, you were born for this moment. And you were born to bring peace everywhere you go. You know, I just want to stay on track here this morning. You want to go over to Joshua chapter 3 with me. And really, this is where we're going to send it. I'm going to give you four keys that I find, and then we will wrap this up here today. But Joshua chapter 3, and of course, you know, our series is called really Strong and Courageous, and it comes from Joshua chapter 1 and 9, a very familiar verse. Let me read that for you. Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. But if you look over at really chapter 3 for Joshua, this is the moment that Joshua really has been training for. This is the moment that his life has been leading up to, because the people are about to walk into the promised land. They're about to see so many changes begin to happen. And what I want to do just for a little bit this morning is to give you four keys that I find in this passage of scripture. Let me read it first and then we will go through it. It says verse 1, then Joshua rose early in the morning and they set out before Acacia Grove and came to the Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they crossed over. So it was after 3 days that the officers went through the camp. And then these are the verses here. And they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord, your God, and the priests and the Levites bearing it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. Then verse 4, yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Do not come near it. It's about 1,000 feet. Do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way before. Verse 5 says this, and Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Come on, let's set that in our spirit right now, that tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Those of you that are going on the front line, those of you that are in grocery stores, those of you are wherever it would be, you begin to have that scripture. You post it in your heart. I know we post a lot of things online and we post a lot of things different place, but post it in your heart as an expression of what you believe, that God is going to do wonders amongst us. Verse 6 then says, and Joshua spoke to the priests, saying, take up the Ark of the Covenant and cross over before the people. So they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the Lord. And the Lord said to Joshua, this day I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all of Israel, that they may know that I, as I was with Moses, I will be with you. And so really, here are those four things that I wanted to focus on today. Number one, keep your eyes on God. If you're writing this down, just try maybe to write these things down so that you can even go over them in the week. Keep your eyes on God. We see in verse 3, really the first part of it, when you see the Ark of the Covenant, the place that to me, this is the place of the presence of God. This speaks to me about keeping our focus on the fullness of the presence of God. I understand how serious this is that we're in right now. I do. So when I say I'm excited about something, do not think that I am living in a bubble and I don't know what's going on around me. But this is what one of the things that right from the very beginning, I felt like the Lord was telling me. The people are going to experience me, some for the first time, outside of their church. That side of their church building is probably a better way to say it. That many people have had great encounters inside of a building with the presence of God. I know for me that I'm sitting on the stage right now, and if I was to point over, for those of you that are from Antioch, you know the big cross that's over on the side of the wall over there. And you know the experiences that I've had with him being pinned against that wall and all that God has done in my life through this. But here's the thing. If my experience with him is just inside of this building, then it's just a little bit lacking. And I'm telling you, amazing things happen inside here. But I'm excited to see that when we go after the presence of God in our houses, and some of you, this may be normal. Some of you, this happens all the time. Some of you are seasoned veterans in this. But can I talk to the ones that you might say, you know, I don't really, don't know what people talk about when they talk about feeling the presence of God I know that when I go to church, I like it and I'm there. Can I say this to you? Focus your eyes on God and call out to him in your room by yourself, maybe as you're walking around the streets, and ask him to fill you with the fullness of his presence. And those of you that are veterans in this, adopt the approach that I'm ready for more. Adopt the approach that I'm not full yet. There's more room, Holy Spirit. There's more room, Holy Spirit. There's more room for you to do more inside of me, Holy Spirit. But in the midst of this, the God that has a plan, he is the one that I will focus on. And so I encourage you to do that. You know, Leif Hetland has a great book right now that's out, and it's called Called to Reign. And I encourage you that in this season, if you're looking for something to read, that's a fantastic book. And I don't have time this morning to go through some of these sections, but I just encourage you to read that and to fully grasp what it's like to live and walk in the presence of God as a son or a daughter of the Most High. The second thing, though, that second key is this, is let God lead you and go after his, while you go after his presence. And the verse really 3b there says, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. They're talking about the ark, okay, following behind it. Go after the presence of God. Don't be presumptuous in this season. Let God lead you. Don't let fear lead you. It always steers you for the ditch. Go after God in his timing and he will lead you higher. You know, fear is something that really over the years that is connected at times to depression. And I know those things. I know those spirits. I know that when they try to come around, I know that when that little palpitation that comes in your heart for a second, that sense of just being frozen just for a minute. But you know what? I know the God who has a plan. And I know that his presence transforms me and changes me. And I want in this season to allow him to lead me every single moment of every single day. Be sensitive to the Holy Spirit in this time. Be sensitive when he asks you to pray for somebody right there. Don't delay it. Don't put it off. Be sensitive about it. When you're off, maybe you're like me and you're out in your shop and you're building something and the Holy Spirit begins to talk to you. Be sensitive that you will hear and you allow the presence of God to lead you. Third key is this. There's a new way for a new day. You see, what if we look at verse 4 again, it says, for you have not passed this way before. See, up until then, what would happen is the people were led by a cloud during the day and a pillar of fire by night. Now the ark would show them the way in this. The presence of God would lead them. I am telling you right now, I can't express that stronger. Let it be the presence of God that leads you. I don't stick my head in the sand, as I say it, and never watch a news feed or never see what's going on. But I don't allow those things to lead me or those things to set my expectation. I let the word of God set my expectation. I allow the presence of God in my life to lead me. It's just, I know that I have said this a few different times in a few different ways, but God has a plan. He's not taken by surprise, and his plan is a good plan. I want just to talk to some of you, though, that today, just for a few minutes, as I give you the last, really the last couple of keys here, last key in a second. But let me just share this with you. I'm not really great at slowing down. I'm not. I know it. Some of you will find this absolutely ridiculous and strange, and it's been interesting for me. I love to go into Tim Hortons and spend time with the Lord. And you're going to think that that's nuts and that's crazy because there are people all around you, and we can't do that right now, I know. But there's people all around you, there's noise all around you, and but for me, in those moments, he breaks in, and I tell you, I can hear God so clearly in that moment. And maybe for you, this is not like this. And I'm not telling you to go out and, you know, later on, once all of this calms down, that you have to change and be like me. What I'm telling you is I have a hard time sometimes slowing down and stopping. But in this moment, in this season, God wants to bring transformation into your life. He wants to bring you closer. If today you're sitting there and maybe the enemy is speaking all kinds of shame and guilt over you, don't listen. He is a loving God. He loves you. He is for you. He is with you. Let me read Psalms chapter 3. 103, sorry, verse 12, it's a verse you know, very familiar. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Some of you might know Hunter. Hunter has recently come back to the Lord and come back to connection with us here at Antioch. And it seems like we've just started to get to know him again, and now all of this has happened. And Hunter, if you're watching, we love you. Praying for you, buddy. But one day Hunter sent me this, and I thought it was just fantastic. And so I'm going to read it. So forgive me if my head's down for a little bit here, but I want to read it. And it's to do with this scripture. Today it says, I can't help but stand in wonder and awe at the compass. Something so simple, but shows so much. And just like the compass, Jesus shows us the way. He is the way. But looking more into the compass shows four main directions, north, east, south, and west. But looking at this, why didn't God or why couldn't God have used that your sins are as far away from you as far as the north is from the south? And he goes on to write this, for we know the world is not, in fact, flat, which means that if you go north and continue to go north, you will eventually start to go south. If you go south and continue to go south and go around the poles, and eventually when you pass the pole, you will begin to go north. But what is interesting is if you go east, you keep going east, you'll keep going east, you'll keep going east. You may get to what we call the west, but your direction will never change and you'll always be going in the east. He says in here, And God separate us from our transgressions, our sins, as far as the east is from the west, with no fixed point. This is as continuous and endless as the journey east would be. No matter how far one feels they have fallen or how big one's sins might feel, we are infinitely separated from our sins. This is how much God loves you. You today are sitting there and you might say, well, I don't know that I know Jesus as my Savior and my Lord. He's got a plan. He loves you dearly. When I'm in children's ministry with kids, I don't get them to say, in essence, just a rhyme off a sinner's prayer, although I do think there's value in that prayer. But what I encourage the kids to do is to say, just to simply have a conversation with God and say, Lord, here is my life. I give you my life. Forgive me for my sins. Wash me clean. And begin a new journey in me. You know, the fourth and last key I will give you is this. And it's found in verse 8. And when you come to the edge of the water of the Jordan, you shall stand in the Jordan. Joshua is talking to the priests at this time, and he's given them this instruction. Kind of reminds me, though, of Ephesians 6. 10, and in and around there, we're talking about the armor of God. So in order to withstand in this day, you must stand in the presence of God. In order to withstand in this day, you must stand within the word of God. You see, you know when you read the scripture, and I'm just about to close here, but you know that when you read this scripture, you see how much Joshua has transformed just in that little time. Because this is what he says in verse 13, a little bit farther down. And it shall come to pass. He's so emphatic about that. See, Joshua has had an encounter that has transformed and changed him. He declares boldly that it'll come to pass as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests, and by the way, that's us now, we are a kingdom of priests, who bear the ark of the Lord, the fullness of the presence of God. We bear the fullness of the presence of God, that the Lord of all the earth shall rest on the waters of the Jordan. In other words, when they step onto the Jordan, that the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off, and the waters that come down from the upstream, they shall stand as a heap. When you have the word of the Lord, like Joshua did in that moment, you can be certain in uncertain times. Can I encourage you to ask the Lord what he wants to say to you, to grab your Bible every day and not just to read it as an exercise, but to say as you may begin and you may have a daily passages that you walk through, very important to be disciplined, but to be able to say, Lord, what is it you want to say to me today? Deuteronomy 6 and 6 to 10 really says these things. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road. Boy, it sounds like us right now, because all we're really doing is if you're at home with your kids, you're at home with your kids, and maybe you're going for a walk here and there. But it says, let when you lie down and when you get up, tie them. That's the commandments of the Lord. That's the word of God. Tie them as symbols around your hands and bind them on your foreheads. And then this scripture, write them on the doorposts of the frames of your and of your on your gates. Here's your challenge this week as I close. I'm going to ask you to do this, and I'm going to ask you to put some pictures up on our family Facebook group that we have, our church family. If those of you that don't have that, you can as well send us some of these pictures if you wanted to at info@acmrevivalcenter.com, and we can get them. But here's what I want you to do. I want you to grab some scrap pieces of paper, and you might want to print them out, whatever you want to do, however you want to do it. But I want you to spend time and ask the Lord, what is the scriptures that we need as a family right now? What is it, the scriptures that I need as an individual? And what I want you to do is I want you to tape them onto your mirrors. I want you to do the most places that you go, stick them on your fridge, clear off all the other stuff right now, and just stick that scripture verse on your fridge. Maybe stick it on a cupboard and stick it downstairs. Stick it on the door as you're walking out and the door as you're walking in, and find the word of God all over your house. And I guarantee you that in a moment when all of a sudden you're going, Lord, what are we going to do? And you turn around and you see on your fridge the word of God that declares over you that he has never leave you nor forsake you. It will begin to be fuel that moves you forward. It will begin, the word of God will begin to become the courage that we need in this season and in this time right now. I'll just encourage you with this last thing. Take time. Take time to spend it with your family. Take time to speak over your kids. I'm so encouraged when I see people worshiping with their children or spending time with each other. But can I ask you to do this as soon as we're done this broadcast? So here's your two things. One is your challenge to take scripture and put it all over your house, and then take a picture and put it online. I dare you even, shall I say that, to put it on your own Facebook page. But here's the other thing I want you to do, is when you're done, pick up your phone and say, Lord, who do you want me to text today? How can I encourage them? How can I bring them courage and strengthen them in this season?
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Antioch, you can visit us online at antiochcanada.ca.